How doing this morning? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise one more time. Amen. Because of who God is, that we are, amen, that we have our move, our being, praise the Lord. And we just thank God for the ability. Amen. He says each day is brand new mercies, and we thank God for those brand new mercies. Hallelujah. I know I do. Amen. I thank God that I'm able to get up, and no matter how bad I might feel, but God has given me another time, another chance to get those things that are wrong right. Amen. And so with that, I give God praise, honor, and glory. Let me just first say, listen, I thank you all for allowing me to come. I say this every time, and I don't take this lightly, that I get to come down to the campgrounds and share a good word of God with you all. I love it. It is my heart. And, you know, Sister Becky and I were talking yesterday. We're trying to get the schedule straight for next year. And so, you know, with that, she said, well, Todd, I thought this. And I said, yeah, well, you were right, Becky. And I went here. And so we got it all clear. And I'm excited even about next year coming forth. Even though next year is not here, but according to God's will, then I will be here. And looking forward to those opportunities. But this morning, my wife told me to tell you all, good morning, hello. She's at our church. She had to preach this morning while I was not there. And so certainly she missed being down here with us as well. And certainly want to welcome my one of my supervisors, amen, and his lovely wife who are down here with us. And so I'm excited about the good things that God is doing in each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen.
And so with that, I'm not going to belabor the point. I'm going to go back and talk about something that I was teaching on this past Wednesday night on Bible study. And I just want to welcome those who are in the Facebook. KB said, you got that Facebook with you again. I said, yep, we use every medium that we can to get the Word of God out to as many people that we can get the Word of God out to. We don't know where people are and what's happening with them this morning. We know some may be at home. They may be clicking on their Facebook. And when they click on their Facebook and they see an opportunity to hear the Word of God, then we use that medium as well. To share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know from time to time I have a lot of people who click on. And so I just want to tell those who are on Facebook, good morning and welcome to you as well. Over in, well, let me see, I'm going to start this. I'm going to change this up a little bit. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Again, this is where I was on this past Wednesday evening as I was teaching on conference call. We had quite a few people on conference call with us this past Wednesday evening. And again, for you all who may not go to church regularly or you may not have a church that you attend, on Wednesday evenings we have Bible study on conference call. And so we have people call in from all across the United States, and literally we do, just to hear the Word of God. And we share the good news at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. And so if you want to jump online with us, I'll be sure to give you the number when we get off, when we finish here this morning. But I won't keep you all long. But in Proverbs chapter 6, this is what it says in verse 9 through 11. Proverbs chapter 6, when you get there, say word.
Word.
Chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says this. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come to you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Amen. Can I read that one more time? Oh, I'm going to take you somewhere this morning. Bear with me for just a few minutes. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 through 11 says, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come to you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And so what brought me to this Bible study on this past Wednesday evening was the fact that I was at work Wednesday morning, and I happened to be checking my bank account by my phone. You know, you got those little apps you can click in and see what's going on with your bank. I don't know why. Maybe it was just the Lord trying to get me to be attentive to what was happening on my bank account. And so I looked on my bank account, and I noticed that some money had come out of my account for my kids' college tuition. Now, let me bring you all to a place of understanding why this thing disturbed me so badly. Amen. And so y'all ever been taken by surprise because some money come up short, some stuff that you have not accounted for, some things that you're missing, and then you see it, and all of a sudden it just takes you to a whole different part of your day? Amen. And so with that, I looked, I said, wait a minute. Why did they take this money out for my kids' tuition? Well, let me give you all a little bit of background, and then we're going to make this We're going to make this real good this morning about what we just read in Proverbs chapter 6. I had set up a payment plan for my kids' tuition, my son and my daughter. And that payment plan was only supposed to go into effect if their financial aid had not come in time enough so their college classes would not get kicked out of the system, and they can go ahead and attend their courses until their financial aid came in. Well, their financial aid had been applied for way back in the spring. And so they did it in a time enough manner, but there was some confusion as to what was the correct information about my personal finances. And so they had to go through a process that was called verification. Now, I've never been through that before, but nonetheless, they had to. And so that delayed the financial piece. And so in order to keep their classes intact, I had to sign an agreement that if the money did not come in a timely manner, that on August 22nd, they would deduct this amount of money out of my account, and they would continue to deduct that amount of money each month up until the semester is over. And so, you know, me being conscious about what's happening, I wanted to check in on their financial situation. And so I called 2 weeks ago, and I said, hey, have my son and daughter's financial aid been cleared through verification? They said, yes, Mr. Stubblefield, and it's applied to the account. And I said, great, because now I don't have to pay this money, and so I'm not accounting for this money to come out of my account. And so when I looked up on this past Wednesday and saw that they had taken money out of my account, I said, wait a minute. The lady said that this thing would automatically drop off because the money is applied, and I wouldn't have to have it. So I never accounted for that money coming out of my bank account. And so all of a sudden now I'm in a panic mode because my mindset is that now I'm going to potentially bounce some checks because I didn't account for this money to be in here because I assigned it other places based upon the conversation that me and the school had. And so I said, well, can you tell me what happened? And then this is what they told me that really got up underneath my skin. They said, Mr. Stubblefield, you're not on your son or daughter's account, so we can't discuss this issue with you. Now, we're going to get into Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 through 11 in just a minute, but my antennas went up, my temperature went up, my anger went up, and I didn't start fussing with the lady on the phone, but I said, wait a minute, you can take money out of my account, but I can't discuss my kids' account with you at school? No, you're not on their account as a person that we can discuss their issues with. I said, well, give my money back then. Of course, they're not going to do that. And so I called my son and I called my daughter because both of them go to the same school, the same university. And I said, hey, listen, I need you to immediately go, because school hasn't started yet for them. Classes start this Monday, coming up tomorrow. And I said, I need y'all to go to the school right now. Go down to financial aid and to the accounts office, and I need you all to put me on your account so I can discuss why this money has come out. And who did it come out for? Because both of you all's accounts are supposed to be settled through your financial aid. And so when they did that, my son said, Dad, they did it on my financial aid, on my account. I said, well, did you put me down and talk to the school? They said, sure, I did that. They didn't wait for you to call. So I called her back. I said, ma'am, what happened? She says, well, sir, your son's a new student and he's out of state. And so the money that was given in financial aid did not cover the full tuition. And I said, oh my gosh, I did not account for that. And so it took me by surprise. And my daughter, she's considered in-state because she's been there for 2 years now and she lives there. She has an apartment there. And so so her tuition is much cheaper than his. And so as that situation, as we dealt with that, and I said, well, I guess there's not a whole lot I can do about this at this moment, I hung the phone up and I said, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? Because I really was not accounting for this money to come out of my pocket. And so about an hour went past, I get a phone call from my daughter. And she says, Dad, I got something to tell you. That don't sound good. I said, what do you mean you have something to tell me? She says, brace yourself. I said, brace myself? She says, absolutely. I said, what do you want me to brace myself for? She said, I just got a bill in the mail for my old apartment here in Maryland. I said, a bill? We just closed that account out. What bill did you get? She says, $1,100 for replacement of carpet. I said, $1,100 for replacement of carpet. And so at this particular point, before I could get mad, the Lord quickly brought to my attention what we just read. Listen to this. I'm going to make sense of all of this. I'm going to read to you again. Proverbs chapter 6. He says this. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come in like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. And I had to start laughing at that point, because as soon as God laid that on my heart, he took me over to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 18. And this is what it says in Deuteronomy 8, 18. It says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm going to draw all this together. Now, we're talking about Proverbs 6, 9 through 11, when he says, how long shall you what? Sleep. Come on, work with me now. He says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, he says, how long will you what? Sleep. I'm going to say it one more time. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9 through 11, he says, how long shall you what? Sleep. And so when you look at sleep by definition, it talks about remaining dormant, or it talks about inactivity. Prior to verse 9, he talks about considering the ways of the ant who has no captain or no queen, but goes out in the off season and prepares for the season to come, that ant may have food in its house. It goes out and labors and work. And so here, yes, I do have a job, and I work faithfully at it. But when God said in Deuteronomy 8:18, I had nothing else to do but laugh. I couldn't get mad at the money at that time that had been taken out of my account for my son, and I could no longer be mad about the $1,100, because God said something to me. He says, first, you are asleep, and secondly, you don't realize or recognize that I have given you power to obtain wealth. And so I thought about it for a second. God has given me two businesses outside of me being the deputy sheriff, and he's given me the ability to write books. Now, I've written a book, and I have the manuscript to that book, but I have done nothing with the manuscript. It has sat in my bag for over 6 months now, complete. It took me 2 years to write it, first of all. And then, since it's been written, it's been sitting dormant in my bag for 6 months. In fact, the people who wants to publish the book, who has a copy of the manuscript, called me a couple weeks ago and said, Mr. Stubblefield, are you ready yet to publish this book? We like your manuscript. And I said, hold on, wait a minute. I'll be ready shortly. And he says, well, call me. Now, prior to him calling me 2 weeks ago, he has been calling me off and on periodically, asking me, when am I ready to proceed? Sure, I have to pay for this, but what I have to invest to get this book published is nothing in comparison to what the book could bring back in return, as well as bless the people who will receive the book, because God gave me the book to write about marriage. As Kevin and Becky are celebrating marriage of 35 years, is it? 35 years on tomorrow, my wife and I, we've celebrated 26 years just a couple of months ago. And so those are no easy milestones today. It used to be, in times past, that marriage used to last forever and ever. But today, people trade marriages in like they're trading cars, or a pair of shoes, or some clothes. But God has given me something to give and sow into people's lives about marriage. But I've done nothing more than write it and put it in manuscript form. And so therefore, the people it's supposed to reach, it has not reached. And the blessings it was supposed to bring to me, it has not brought, because I've been what? Sleep. I've been going through a period of inactivity. A period of doing nothing. When you look at the word power means the ability to do. Or to act. Strength. God has given all of us in here the ability to what? Do. He's given all of us the ability to act. And if you look at it, it says also to accomplish something. God has given all of us in here the power. You all who are on Facebook, people all across this country, all over the world, He's given us, those who trust in Him, He's given us the ability to do, to act, or to accomplish something. But a lot of times we won't do. A lot of times we won't act. And a lot of times we won't accomplish something because we're always a what? Sleep. Or we're worried about what people think. Or we don't believe that we have enough to offer. Or what we're adding is going to be viable. But if God gives it, then God will supply you with what you have need of to make it happen. And then He'll put it in a place to where others will be blessed by it. He'll get the glory from it. And you'll enjoy the proceeds from it. Because that's what God does for us. How long shall you what? Sleep. Come on, some of y'all want to sleep on me right now. How long shall you what?
Sleep.
He says, how long will you be a sluggard? A person who's lazy or just kind of dozing in and out of consciousness? That's what God is asking. How long shall we do this? And sometimes we just settle for less because we're afraid of stepping out and getting something better because we don't want to fail. And in God, there is no what? Failure. You may fall, but God says what? Get up. He says the righteous man falls 7 times, but do what? Get up. You're going to make some mistakes in your life. You're going to have some trials and tribulations. You're going to have some shortcomings, but God wants all of us to do what? Get up. Come up out of those things that holds us back each and every day. Again, He's given me 2 businesses. 2 good businesses. 2 businesses that I've enjoyed the fruit of the labor in which I've put into them, but the labor that I've put into them has been so small, the fruit and the return has been what? Small. But if I put the time and attention into doing what God has given me to do, then you will see, I will experience the expanse, the growth, and the benefits of what it is that God has blessed me with. Matter of fact, from this sermon alone, there's a book that God has given me called I Just Got Robbed. And it's a legal robbery. I can't prosecute nobody. Because I'm going to show it to you. Can't take nobody to jail for it. Or any of that reason. Because the robbery is myself. I'm the robber. Oh my goodness. Watch this. So let's look at this for a second. So we see where he says, how long shall you sleep, O sluggard? We know prior to this, he says, consider an ant who works and makes provisions for themselves. And then we see in Deuteronomy when he says, I've given you, so that you shall remember me, I've given you the ability to get what? Wealth. Wealth is riches without measure. Whether it's in finances or resources or whatever it is, God has put every one of us in a position to get wealth. And again, wealth has no measure to it. And so a lot of times, how many of y'all have sat back in your house, I know I have, and seen people on TV just constantly getting what we think are blessings on top of blessings, and we ask the Lord, when shall my ship come sailing in? I know I have. Lord, how long before, you know, things change for me? And the question remains, how long shall you what? Sleep. Oh, what? Sluggard. Because we want a lot of times God to do things for us that God has already empowered you and I to do for what? Ourselves. He has. God has given us the ability to do some things for our what? Self. When Jesus died on the cross for us, do you not know that He put us right back in the right relationship we're supposed to be in with God? So that we have God's favor, His unmerited favor, nothing that we can do to gain it except for just believe in Him. Nothing we can do to work to earn it. We just got to believe in who? God. God will do what? Favor you. He'll open doors to you that no man can close. And He'll close doors on your path that nobody can what? Open. God will seal away all the bad stuff in your life and make new things available to you and I if we will stop being a sluggard. Oh, come on with me now. I know some of y'all look at your old life and you say, man, I missed out on some what? Opportunities. Yeah. And we think about, man, if I would have did this, things would have been a lot better for me had I taken advantage of the opportunities provided to me at the time that those doors were open. But I got to tell y'all a secret this morning. Do you not know that whatever opportunities have passed you, God will open up new opportunities if you just continue to humble yourself and trust Him? God will make new ways out of no what? Way. That's how good and great God is. God loves you so much. Do you think God has need of what we have need of? No, God is a supplier of all our what? Needs. According to his what?
Riches.
And so with that being the case, we can trust and know that God is going to bring forth some things. Even though we may have missed out on some past opportunities, God will make new opportunities. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are. It matters how much you trust and believe in God. Do you believe in God? Because I do. And I always believe that God's going to make ways out of what? No way. So even though my account suffered what it suffered this past week, God still provides, even in my foolishness. Look back in Proverbs chapter 6. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of your hands to sleep, and so shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler. A prowler comes in to see what they can what? Steal. Are you with me this morning? A prowler comes in to see what they can what? Steal or take advantage of. And he says your needs shall come upon you like a what? Armed man. And what does an armed man come to do? Rob you. And because I have not taken advantage of the things that God has made available to me to take advantage of, my need came in and robbed my bank account. Isn't that interesting? My poverty rolled upon me like a prowler. Not because God did not want me to have, but because I did not do what God gave me to do with, and as a result of that, my bank account suffered what? Need. That thing came right on in and took what I didn't have available to it. It took advantage of the situation, and now I came up what? Short. Now, God has made provisions to cover that. But if I would have done, and check this out, if I would have done what God told me to do, when that situation would have presented itself to me, guess what? It wouldn't have been a prowler. It wouldn't have been a need. Because I would have been prospering based upon what God told me to do. And so therefore, I would not have been in a situation that I'd have been mad on Wednesday morning. Ultimately, because I was doing what, doesn't mean we're never going to have shortcomings in our life, doesn't mean that we're never going to have valleys, doesn't mean we're never going to have difficult days, trials, tribulations, but what it does mean is that when you're obedient and you're following God's will for your life, God's plan for your life, guess what? Provisions shall what? Come. They shall be made. So, you know, when Christ put us in this position to be back in the right relationship, let me share this with you all. Praise the name of Jesus. When you look back in the garden of Adam and Eve, what did Adam and Eve lack? Nothing. Adam and Eve lacked absolutely what? Nothing. God put them in a place where they had all their provisions what? Met. Now, when Adam and Eve made the decision that they made, they put all of us at a what? Disadvantage. But when you read in Romans, Romans says this. Romans says through the first Adam, we failed. Through the second Adam, we've been redeemed and reestablished and back in right relationship with God. And even though things are not perfect, we still have God's availability to us in a one-on-one relationship that we are established back in the earth, that we should enjoy the fullness thereof. And all that God has in it, because it belongs to who? God. And if we're the children of God, how many of y'all in here have children? How many of y'all's children have come to you and asked you of something and you did not give it to them? Well, on most of the time. Okay, let's take it down to your child. Wait, how many of y'all had children that had needs and you've withheld from them? Not me. Not me at all. Matter of fact, at Christmas time, does it not bring you delight to see your kids' eyes light up? Because of things they ask you for. They're like, Mommy, Daddy, can I please have this? And Mommy, Daddy, can I please have that? And I mean, we're in October. Because, you know, the commercials come up and they show all the stuff. Ooh, I want that for Christmas. And I want that for Christmas. And I'm going to get this, Mommy, Daddy. Can I get this, Mommy, Daddy? Can I get that? And you're like, well, I got to see. And you know in your good God mind, you're going to what? Give it to them. But you don't want them to know that you're going to what? Give it to them. We even go as far as saying, well, you know, we got to check with Santa. Well, you know, Santa will bring you something. For you all who are of my age and older, Santa was everything to us. Santa was our parents. I mean, if you go back and you look at the history of St. Nicholas, the man who started all this back in the day, and this all came from him in the means that he had a charitable heart, meeting people at their very needs. That's how we get St. Nick, and we bring up this whole thing about Santa Claus. That's a whole other message somewhere else. But, you know, for me, and even when my kids were growing up, I was like, well, let's see what Santa gonna bring. I love Christmas time. It's my favorite part of the year. It is. But my whole point is, God says this in Scripture. If a man knows how to give his child a good gift, how much do I know how to give my what? Children. Good what? Gifts. And God gives every one of us in here good what? Gifts. God makes ways out of what? No, when you don't think you're able to get something accomplished in your life, all of a sudden you start seeing things fall into place. It's because of who? God. And that's enough to be excited about. But because I was asleep and I was a sluggard, my poverty came up on me like a prowler to see what could be taken away from me. And my need, like an armed man who robbed me at gunpoint. My account came up short. Because I'm not rolling financially like I could if I would do what I'm supposed to do with my businesses. I could have had the extra income rolling in. And I know my businesses are good. Because I constantly get people all the time talking to me about, hey, can I get those shirts from you? Or, hey, can you get this done for me? Matter of fact, my supervisor did it to me one day. He says, hey, Stubbs, can I get that jacket? I said, yeah, I'm going to get it, Sarge. And then my mind is so preoccupied with so many different things, I see him again. He says, did you get my jacket? I said, I'm coming, Sarge. And then a couple weeks go by. Stubbs, where's my jacket, man? I said, I'm coming. But he's one of many who have done that. And then one day I came, I said, Sarge, I got your jacket. And praise God for his patience. Because most people won't be that patient. But I have people who call me all the time for my products, saying, hey, can I get this? Hey, can I get that? Haven't seen you in a while. I need this. I need that. One guy showed me from Italy that he was in Italy with all my stuff on. I was excited because I was in Italy. But guess what? I was only in Italy on his back. But I was not on Italy on other people's back. But I could be on the back of other people in Italy if I would do the things I'm supposed to do that God has given me the ability to do with. Are you with me this morning? Let me show y'all something. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm very close in just a minute. I'm hoping I'm meeting somebody here this morning right where they need to be met at. Because there's some things that we can have that God doesn't mind pointing us to us if we would do what we're supposed to do. Because God knows that when he blesses each and every one of us to inherit or to get wealth, God knows that we're going to bless him right back. God knows that we're going to be good stewards if we do what we're supposed to do. Because the blessings are not only for us, they're for other people as well. So that when someone has a need, you're in a position to help them in the course of their what? Needs. So God don't only bless us to be wealthy. God blesses us to help advance the kingdom, his work. So when Kevin is talking about if you have spare change to assist the ministry and reaching the needs of other people, we should be in a position. It should come someday that Wise Enterprises, someday that Kevin says we have a need for some change, that it don't only be change coming out of, it be dollar bills on top of dollar bills on top of dollar bills, because God has blessed you so much that you want to give away all that God has given you because he keeps blessing you hand over fist and fist over hand, and you have so much that you just want to give and give so somebody else can have. And when God sees you operate like that, God gives more and more to you because he knows you're going to use it to build his kingdom. Look at Deuteronomy. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Y'all with me this morning?
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Look at verse 18. Here's what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and what? Wealth. Good godliness, my. And giving him what? Power. The ability to eat. Oh my goodness. To eat of it, to receive his heritage, and rejoice in his what? Labor. This is a what? Gift from who?
God.
So when he talks about power to eat from it, it's not talking about just food, but it's the ability to do and take and enjoy what it is that you want to enjoy with the labors in which God has given you. It's a gift from who? God. My Lord. God is doing some powerful things. But I'm getting ready to close. Because here's where the problem lies for a many of people. Not most people, but for many of people. It is back in Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. He says, because a little sleep, which means remaining dormant, and this is the part I like right here. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the what? So do we really fold our hands more so than we fold our what? And so when we fold our arms, most times, not that it happens over here, that's how both of y'all had your arms folded at the same time, but most times when we fold our arms and our hands, it's a resistance to what? Change. Or it's a resistance to what?
To the cold.
But it is chilly. But most times when we fold our hands and our arms like this, it's a resistance to something. And so when you look at the scripture, when he says here in Proverbs chapter 6, he says, a little folding of the hands to sleep, it means to remain in your present position because you're resistant to change. Wow. Somebody comes to say something to you, and you know it's not going to be good, the first thing you do is... because you're building up defenses against what's about to happen. For you. Do you not know that if we continue like this, when God is talking to us about our lives, that we can't experience the blessings that God has for us? Because what we're doing is we're resistant to... when somebody comes to correct you about something in your life, and the first thing you do is like this, it's a resistance to change, or to correction, or to what God is about to do in your life. Because God brings correction to those whom he what? Loves. The Bible says he's chastised those whom he what? Loves. When God chastised me on Wednesday morning about my laziness, I work hard at the sheriff's department. My supervisor tell you I work hard. My coworker tell you I work hard. They work hard at the job. They do. And we labor hard for the company that we work for. But the Lord has blessed me to work equally as hard at what he has gifted me in. And in working hard and the gift that God has given me would expand and expose me to more things that I enjoy doing and that I'm good at. I'll never forget, my mom told her friend one day, we were in the house. She says, him right there, me, that boy, has a silver tongue. She said, he can talk you out of anything. He's good at what he does. He has the gift of gab. She said, if he uses it right, he's going to be all right. She said, but I got to watch him, because he talks me out of a lot of stuff. And her friend laughed. But I constantly think about that as I was a young man. And my wife told me this. She said, one of the things that made her fall in love with me when we first met was my gift of gab. She used to tell people all the time when we were in school, she used to love, because we had some problems in school. There's some things happening between the university and the students that just was not going well. And so one of the people who stood up to speak about the issues was me. And I could see it in her eyes as she sat back there in the audience. Her eyes were just kind of lit. She was stuck right on me. But the reality of all is that she'll tell people all the time, I love his ability to speak. I've had people tell me over and over again. And so one of the companies that the Lord has blessed me with is called Suited Communications. Why? Because I help prepare people professionally and personally for whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish in their lives. And so I've been hired by the U.S. military. They've taken me to Georgia. They've taken me out into parts of Maryland. I had a USDA hire me last year right down in, where was it? We were in Fredericksburg at their training facility. I was dealing with their mid-management and upper management of the USDA government. Came in and taught some courses to them. I've been hired to come in and talk to youth groups. And all that, that's my gift. But if I don't work on my gift, my craft, or if I don't put myself out there, nobody's going to know about me until I do what I'm supposed to do. And oftentimes now, I look at all these opportunities passing by because I keep my mouth closed. I don't do anything with it. I get so settled with being a deputy sheriff and what job that I do there that I don't really, and even at the sheriff department, I'm an instructor. I teach classes at the sheriff department. And matter of fact, one of my immediate supervisors, when somebody can't teach a class, she'll come to me and she'll say, hey, I need you to pitch in real quickly for me. Go in and teach this class real quick. I mean, it's on the spot because that's my gift. I was blessed last week when a professor from Virginia Theological Seminary said, hey, I'm going to bring you in as a guest lecturer because I love the way that you speak. God is showing me all the things that I have need of to use the gift that he has blessed me with. But it's up to me to do something with what it is that God has given me the gift to do. No different than it is to all of you. It doesn't matter how old you are. I close with this last story and I'm done. And I always talk about Colonel Sanders. Why? Because when he retired, I think he was about 60, 61 years of age. His retirement and Social Security and everything that he was about to bring in was only $100-something a month. He says, I can't live with this. He said, I can't. This is not going to be enough for me. So he put on that white suit, that little bow tie, and he took his famous chicken recipe around the country in his car to see who he could sell it to. He got turned down 1,000 times. But it was the 1,001 time that brought him Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I tell people all the time, I love Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's just been one of my favorite things. No different than Hoover the vacuum cleaner. When he came out with that vacuum cleaner, there were no carpets. But he saw an idea. He saw an opportunity. And the one thing he taught that I'll never forget, he says this, and this is how God puts you and I in a position that when we are ready to move and see some things happen, and we trust and believe in him, God will work things out because we need to operate by faith. We need to trust God's plan, and we need to know God's word in order to be successful. We need to live by faith, trust God's plan, and we must know his word in order to be successful. But Hoover said this when he made the vacuum. I know that I'm going to get 1,000 no's, but I'm always looking for the one what? Yes. He knew failure or resistance to what it was that he was doing would come. But when we look at Hoover today, it is now the benchmark for vacuum cleaners. It is the branding of vacuum cleaners. Even though there are so many other different vacuum cleaners out here today, everybody still know who? Hoover. And it took one yes to get him where he needs to be. It just takes one soul to keep wise going where he needs to be. It takes one, whatever it is that you need to do in your life to get you to that next level of what it is that you want. It took that one jacket. And him to keep saying, Stubbs, you're going to bring me the jacket. Stubbs, you're going to bring me the jacket. Stubbs, you're going to bring me the jacket. Here it is, Sarge. And people constantly call me asking for those items. No different than all of you all have something that God will do in and through you. And it may not be your own business. It may be through something else. I don't know. But I'll tell you all one thing. One good thing that came out of the recession that we had over the last several years is that it caused people who lost their job to become creative. And more millionaires came out of it than what you could shake a stick at because people had to rely on their gifts, their talents, and their abilities, the very thing that God had given them to use. God says it rains on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the just and the unjust. And just as much as God has said it will happen for them, it will also happen for us if we do what God has told us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Will you be a sluggard any longer?
No.
No. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Will you continue to remain asleep? No. God is willing to bless you if you unfold your hands. Now I know y'all caught.
Air conditioner shut off.
But if you would unfold your hands and be open to change, the very God that healed and saved and delivered you through Christ Jesus on that cross is the same God that will empower you to do some great and mighty things. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, JKD.